When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ho ho, hello everybody and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
That's right, we're barely a flippin' toddle into December and already the Christmas gear is bedecked, is that right? The podcast studio is bedecked.
We have very much decked the halls.
Yes.
With Christmas stuff. We've got our lovely, if you're watching the video version, of course, we've got our lovely Christmas tree from last year's Tat Appeal with all the ornaments on and the Rules Boss topper. Peter and I are wearing our Christmas jumpers purely out of convenience as much as anything else because it's cold.
I had mine, but I didn't realize that they were wearing it until we were down here and I said, I can't be asked to go get mine. So I'm not wearing mine,
that's
but that's
fine.
Okay. We put the tinsel up on the TV, so
tinsel's
close enough.
On the TV. We might not even be wearing Christmas jumpers next week or the week after. It's just that
I will.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Okay, well then
you've got
maybe
quite
I'll
a few
do the
Christmas
same.
Jumpers,
I've got
though.
Four or five, so I wear one every day through December, pretty much.
Every day.
Wow. Yeah, at work. Not at home necessarily, but I always when I'm doing at least when I'm filming content, I like to have a Christmas jumper on for December.
One for every day of the week.
Yes. I'll do it for content. I'm not doing it for anyone else though.
No, I don't do it at home.
That's it. We come to you today on Thursday, the 1st of December, which is when we're recording this.
Yes.
Obviously, it goes out on the Saturday. The day after the Tat unboxing. How long did it take us, Ashton?
About 11 hours.
Yeah.
Give or take.
It was about 10 hours filming, but it was a good 11 hours, including either side, like
we
set up and
sat down to
up.
Film at 9:30. Had a brief pause because the SD card wasn't working.
Yeah.
And then we finished and like tidied everything at about 8:00 last night.
We left about 8:30.
We left about 8:30.
Yeah. It was an incredible day.
Mm-hmm.
And the video, which will be longer than last year's video, should be on the channel towards the end of the month. So look forward to that. And thank you to everyone who sent us Tat.
So much.
We feel hungover in a way that I can't really describe today, probably because of what we ate yesterday and also the duration of the day.
And what we drank, maybe.
What we drank.
Although we were all stone cold sober by the end, weren't we? So
We may not be on our A game today, but we're going to try.
Yeah.
We're going to put our whole
some triple jussy.
Thank you.
Into this podcast.
And as we said in the recording of the Tat Appeal, which you won't see till the end of the month, we won't necessarily be rolling out bits of show relevant Tat until perhaps the new year or at some point. Like you'll see it as and when, but not necessarily straight away. So
exactly. Yeah. However, this is a video game podcast and we are sponsored each and every week by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. This isn't the point where we talk about Dead Island 2 The Spider, is it?
No, and it's before what we're playing, I think.
Is it what we're playing?
Yeah.
It's something that involves looking. Oh, keep the lights on is when we say
So that is the sponsor. Oh, well, yeah. The patrons or the sponsor.
It's after the sponsor.
Okay.
You say you help us keep the lights on.
Well, we won't look for it yet then. No. But Ashton, I believe you have this week's sponsor in front of you.
I do. As you guys know, it's winter, isn't it? And it's a bit chilly over here in the UK.
Brr,
so cold. So one thing you probably don't want is ice lollies.
No.
But there is one thing that, you know, when I say one thing, there's a list of things that you should do when you're having an ice lolly. And one of them is don't eat it when it's cold because you're already cold. But someone's compiled this list of kind of unwritten rules and put them all together. And it's coming out tomorrow as the list of things
that's happened
that they want everyone to know.
Come on.
And it's, of course, the Kallippo Protocol.
Oh, for God's sake. For God's sake.
Yeah. So, you know, things like don't squeeze it all the way out because it's just going to melt all over your hands.
Yeah.
When you finish it, you should make sure that you get the juices out of the bottom, otherwise you're not getting the full experience.
Don't get pushed into the meat grinder by the necromorph.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I was going, I was like, ice, lolly, ice. No, I couldn't think of anything. I was trying to do the work it out in my head.
Well, it's not real.
Oh, damn it. When was the last time you had a Kallippo?
Not actually
as long ago as it should have been. I don't know if it was the most recent summer or the one before, but yeah.
I think I had one over the summer.
Okay. I haven't had one, I think, since I was a child.
I used to call them Kallippos.
Oh, that's weird. My friend...
That's weird. Not the way I said it.
Not the way I said it. Well, I used to say Kallippos, and my friend was like, it's not Kallippo. And then she started making fun of me. And I was like, what do you mean? How do you say it? And apparently it's Kallippo.
Yeah.
But
I always thought it was Kallippo. Freaks. But it's not real.
No, it's not real. That's sorry.
Sad. I'm really sad about that. The real game, the Kallisto Protocol, who of course the game is it directed by the inspiration for Tony Baboni? Glenn Schofield, I want to say. Chris Schofield.
From Dead Space.
Yeah.
It's got quite a lot of the Dead Space devs involved in it.
It does. Oh, it's my game.
Hey.
Hey.
You're going to die in the meat grinder.
I'm developing here. So, of course, we are sponsored by wonderful patrons. Over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this podcast. It's flipping easy to do, guys.
Mm.
It's so much fun to submit questions for this podcast. Imagine submitting a question and having your name read out loud on the podcast.
Yeah,
we're hammering this home because there was a slight we were slightly, what's the term, bereft of questions this week. The questions we've got, of course, are wonderful, but you know, we want to drive that engagement, everyone.
And if you're worried, if you're like a new patron and you're worried that maybe your questions aren't good enough, hey, just give it a try.
You never know,
I might really like them.
We want to see some new names in there. Patrons, we know there's flipping loads of you in there. Thank you very much. So throw your hat in the ring, submit a question.
We see the same names often, which is great, good and fine, but we don't pick people based on, it's nothing to do with the asker, it's to do with the question. So if you've got a good question, don't think, well, I'm not one of those people.
Chuck it in. If something big has happened in the news that week and you think that'd make for a good big discussion, stick it in a question.
Yeah.
Get it in there. We'd love to see it.
And by being a patron, you will be keeping the lights on.
Yes, that's
keeping
true.
The lights on. It's not here.
No, Dead Space. Dead Island.
Dead Space.
Sorry.
The Kallisto spider.
He's at my house staying warm.
That's good. Yes. That's a comforting thought. Thank you to all of our patrons, by the way. And it's time for question one.
This is submitted by David Lever, who says, Konnichiwa, Hedgy Wedgies. Mm. Are there any games where you didn't like some of the artistic flourishes the developers used? For instance, I love how God of War was presented as one continuous shot, but then really hated the fast travel system that was needed because of that. And I love how cinematic Ghost of Tsushima is, but find it repetitive, I find the repetitive, unskippable cutscenes really irritating. Thanks, David.
David.
I struggle to think of stuff outside of just actual art style, whereas, you know, David's come up with a couple of things that aren't specifically art style. They're more to do with direction and stuff. But anyway, I came up with a couple. I don't actually really like the Borderlands style, which I know is a pretty controversial thing to say.
Inking,
indeed. Which, and I know that it's a huge sell for most people. It's like one of the reasons they like it so much is how it looks. But I don't mind it for the most part. I think it looks really good on like the environments and on people's clothes. But what I don't like is on people's faces where they've like drawn little lines and creases and things.
Mm.
I just think it looks really strange. I look at it and I'm like, it just kind of looks like a tattoo or a scar that I know isn't supposed to be a scar.
Mm.
And I don't know, I just can't really look beyond it. Whereas when they draw creases onto their clothes, I'm fine with it. I don't really know what it is, but I don't know. It's just something to do with having lines on their faces.
What is skin if not meat clothes?
Indeed.
Such a good point.
With creases.
Such a good point.
Yeah. I appreciate that that's a bit of a hot take, but I did bring another one then, just to be safe.
okay. A mild take.
From the very beginning, even back when we didn't realise that it was going to turn out to not be what was promised, even when we're all excited by the first trailer, I didn't really like the style of No Man's Sky. I didn't like the colour palettes. It's not to say that it didn't have colours. It had lots of colours, but I didn't like the colours.
Very saturated.
Though. Very saturated. Very, and I'm sure this is the intention, but very sort of alien looking. I don't mean alien the franchise, I just mean it just looked very sort of strange and exotic and unusual. And I don't know, it just kind of, I think maybe it's to do with sort of being a Star Wars fan and that kind of thing, that I quite like a somewhat relatable looking world, like something that looks lived in and a bit like dirty and color schemes that I recognize. So when I see sci-fi that has all these like blown out saturated colors and strange textures, I'm like, yeah, I can't really get with that as much. So
it should be gray and raining.
It should be
like,
gray and
like
brown.
Here.
Yes,
like life is like here,
concrete. No Man's Sky, even back when it was like, oh wow, look at this great exciting new promising thing, I was like, yeah, I don't really like the style, but you know, to each his own. Mm-hmm. Or her own, Ashton Matthews.
That's true. Thank you so much for that fantastic segue. I also agree that I don't love the God of War fast travel system, especially post-game where, and they do it in the second game as well, post-game where I'm kind of like, I just want to go to a different point in the map, the same map, don't have to go through the door to the other area, stand there for a minute while it loads the door, and then go through the door again. That does annoy me. I understand why they're doing it, and it's trying to be arty, but can I not just go through the door and then I come out the door at the other end? Do I have to go to the realm between realms every time?
Yes.
Do I, Santa Monica?
I've taken to just standing still in those
now.
Yeah,
me too.
Because for the longest time in the first game, I thought it didn't even occur to me, which in hindsight is very stupid, that you're only ever running round the roots of that tree until they finish talking. Yeah. And then it's, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the tree just spawns at the next available opportunity. Yeah. I just stand still in there now.
Me too. That's what I started doing. But speaking of fast travel, I don't know exactly the reason they did this, but in Borderlands 3, they boosted the size of the maps quite significantly and then refused to put any fast travel points in the maps. There were certain maps that were like long continuous sections that were like linear, that they put a vending machine or a fast travel point right at the beginning, and that was it. That was all you get, which for a game which is a looter shooter, it doesn't make sense. It was like really annoying and hard to play in those maps. And I don't know if they did it to kind of bit more realism, that you can't just like stop halfway and sell all your stuff in the middle of a boss fight, but it did annoy me until about 6 months later when they finally added all of the fast travel points that they needed to add to all the maps that were too big. I liked Borderlands 3's maps, but they just didn't put any of the like quality of life things that they had in Borderlands 2 in it. Mm. So, yeah.
Borderlands really getting a
bashed today. Yeah.
I haven't gone with Borderlands. I've gone with Soulsborne games. Mm. And particularly the Dark Souls series, where this is sort of a gameplay thing, but also kind of an artistic flourish thing, because I feel like it's built into the gameplay. For example, slow Estus drinking animations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You've got to really breathe it in, man, and watch this knight who's about to be clobbered over the head by some great big monster slowly lift the Estus
with no urgency
to drink it. Like in, for example, God of War, if I'm in trouble and my health's about to run out, I know I can press L3 and R3 and engage Spartan Rage. Mm-hmm. And then basically I'm invulnerable for a bit, and it just happens instantly. Like I can trigger it at the last second. Dark Souls, though, I know that there's a tactical element of having to pick your time to drink your Estus, but especially in Dark Souls 2, where when you drink your Estus, your health slowly refills rather than just going phoom, straight back up. Mm. It's a real pain in the ass. Similarly, with when you're walking through a fog wall or a fog gate to enter a boss fight, enemies can still hit you through the wall and while you're walking through it, especially in Dark Souls 2. And maybe they could just not do that. Maybe when you press X to interact with the fog wall, the enemies just vanish because you're in the boss fight now, mm-hmm. for example. And then it can still play the animation of you walking through it, and that's absolutely fine. The fact that you have to watch the animation while you potentially get absolutely brutalized, completely defenseless from the back, is it can be really annoying, mm-hmm. especially if you're attempting a boss fight for the seventh or eighth time and you've just run past the enemies to get to it, mm. and then everyone beats the crap out of you while you can't defend yourself. I think that counts as an artistic flourish. It's sort of a broad topic, kind of open to interpretation.
I think that about when, in most games, when you have like a fight mechanic that you've unlocked that has an animation that is specific to it, that you can't stop once you've started it, and you can still take damage at the beginning and the end of the animation. Like, you know that, you know, you're going to have, your character's going to do a thing where they pull their bow out. And just in that, like, scene, you're still getting punched from the back. And you're like, but I can't do anything about this. This ability is good, but it takes 10 minutes out of the side and she's being beaten up the entire time.
Yeah.
So that doesn't annoy me. And that is quite common, I think, in a lot of PlayStation games. They're like, we've added this really cool animation to this ability, but you will still get kicked in the face the entire time. Mm-hmm. So sorry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
To a session we've never done before.
Never.
It's called
What We Playing.
Mm. Oh.
It's What We Play in time. Time to talk about the video games that we have been playing. Peter Austin, mm-hmm. what have you been playing?
I have been, well, I was going to say I've been all over this week. I've not been all over this week in that I had a compacted session of multiple games all in one go. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend who's been up in Scotland and was on the way down from Scotland and stopped on the way back via Newcastle. And because I don't think I own any split screen games on my PS5, maybe on my PS4, which I've not even set up. I just set up the PS5 and didn't bother wiring up the PS4. Is CTR Nitro Fuel split screen? Is that got it? Yeah, I could have played that maybe, but I didn't. I didn't think to play that one. It just occurred to me then. But we played a bunch of my old games on my PS2. So played some Future Perfect. That was mm-hmm, fun. Mm-hmm. Played some Tekken Tag Tournament. And we also played some Burnout. It wasn't Burnout Revenge. No, what's the... Yeah, it wasn't Burnout Revenge, which is my favorite one. But I, for some reason, got rid of that. But we played Burnout 3, which is still pretty good. So, a bit of PS2 stuff. That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And I've also done a bit more practice for my Spyro 2 stream that's coming out because I need to make sure that I'm not just there all day.
And what's the date of that again?
That is is it the 9th?
It's next Friday. So
yeah, I think it's the 9th of December, next Friday. Mm-hmm. Starts about 12 p.m. That's 12 noon. Yeah, it's the 9th.
I can't believe you're doing that the day after the Game Awards stream.
I know.
Are you insane?
Lunatic.
Well, I realized I had to do it on a Friday on one of my days off because I can't in good conscience just sit and play Spyro for like 6 hours on an actual work day. So did something just...
The tinsel just...
It made it not. Yeah, I did that a minute ago, but nothing actually happened.
I think it's...
You just did it up there as well.
The TV tinsel is migrating.
Just sort of getting warm.
Well,
maybe.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Probably.
Yeah. It'll be all right. I thought I've got to do it on what is ordinarily a day off, and the way it falls, like all my Friday, I've had to like on a different week, I've like moved it around and I'm not off on the Friday, and so it just has to be then. So I've been practicing Spyro, and I think I have decided that God of War is just not for me. It's just not going to be for me. And that's not having even played it. I just can't bring myself to sit down and give it a go.
Peter, it's only 40 hours long.
It's only 40 hours long. And I've just reached that point where I'm like, it's not that I'll never play a big game like that again. There are a couple coming out next year that I'm very keen to play. It's not that I don't have the time to play any game over like 10 hours. I'm looking forward to Resident Evil 4, for example, which will be many hours of gameplay, I'm sure. But I think... unless it's something that I'm really drawn to, I'm probably...
Got to pick your battles.
I've got to pick my battles. And I don't think I've got 40 hours to spare on top of everything else I'm doing in the next couple of weeks or months. So...
That's so sad.
It is. It is in a way. But I just think, you know, in the past few years, I've just had less and less time to play me games. And so what little game time I do have has to be for the things I need to do, like have fun with me friends and practice for
Why wouldn't your
challenges.
Friends want to watch
just
you
sit and watch me play God of War, on my own? Yeah, I don't know.
Some friends.
Yeah.
So that is what I've done this week. Mm. And I'm doing a Spyro thing in like on the 9th. So watch that if you want.
Watch it. No, do watch it.
Yeah.
No, even if you don't want to.
Yeah. Watch it.
If you don't want to, still watch. Ashton, what have you been playing?
Wow. Thanks for asking. I've been playing I played some Overcooked Saturday night. Mm. I went to Owen off of Codsaholic's house and helped him and his girlfriend finish the missions on Overcooked that they hadn't got 3 stars on. I also went to watch a movie, but there was mainly that. So I helped them do a couple of those missions. I got thrown in at the second to last story mission and then did the final mission, and I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know how to make anything. I was just figuring it out as I was going along. And then we had a full argument about one of the levels where you have to like move around on a like on a platform in a square, and everything's on like a different corner, and you have to move around and do stuff. And we were fully like arguing with each other, and we were like, whoever's in control has to also be in charge. And then we decided that we'll do that, and then we'll never play the game again. So I think Emily was like, uninstall this, I'm done with it. So we played some Overcooked. I have played some more God of War. I have got like the final 2 trophies left to get now, which is just like the kind of final 2 boss fights post game that I need to do. I can't do them. It's too hard. I'm not very good at the combat, and I keep dying, and I was getting annoyed. So I haven't played it since like Monday, partially because I haven't had time, and also just because I'm like, I don't want to keep getting my ass kicked. It's making me sad. So I haven't finished God of War yet, but I've finished pretty much everything else apart from that. And then I played some 2 Point Campus because I didn't really know what to do with myself, and it was the only thing installed on my PC while I was waiting for something else to install. So I played a bunch of that just to play that, and I basically spent like 3 or 4 years in one of the missions just trying to get the 3rd star because I couldn't get all of my kids to graduate with an A star, and it was annoying me. But eventually I did it after 3 years. And then the last thing I played, again, I played some more Saints Row. My boyfriend always makes fun of me. He says, is this just your favorite game, isn't it? And I'm like, it's not my favorite game. I'm very aware that it's a bad game. I just like playing it because it's a game we can play together, and it's stupid, and we can just bumble around and shoot things. They did like a big update in November that fixed some things and changed a bunch of stuff, like put garages around the map so you don't have to drive to one specific location to save your car. They added it so that you can finally call your car to you.
Oh, thank God.
Because you could set up like your favorite cars and like put them in your garage, but unless you wanted to go all the way back to one location and get them, you couldn't get it.
You had to have like a certain level of like loyalty or friendship with the garage man for him to bring it.
Yeah. And then also like if you go into any story mission or any side quest, they just get rid of your car, just gets binned off. And then you're like, oh God, I drove it all the way here and now it's gone. So you can call in for your car now. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Finally.
But it does still annoy me that every time it wants me to do a driving mission, which is practically every side mission that there is just a driving mission. I can't use my fast car that I've upgraded. I have to use the crappy car that they give me. But they really didn't put any effort into this game. There's like a bunch of like side hustles, and nearly every single one of them is exactly the same. It's either go and find something, take a picture of it or steal it, or drive a car from this location to a different location in a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, they're rubbish. But I'm going to keep playing it because it's my favorite game.
I think that was part of the reason why I enjoyed it as well, because it's broken. It's completely broken, and there's clearly a lot of shortcomings.
It is objectively a bad game.
There was just something about it that I found really weirdly compelling. Like, I didn't want to stop playing it until I finished it, and I had no interest in doing all the side stuff and things, but like I did see the story to the end, and it's not going to be one of my games of the year, that's for sure.
No.
Fascinating. Like how a game so wonky could be so what's the term I'm looking for, in Anything?
I'm quite enjoying watching you struggle.
Immersive, enrapturing,
maybe, yeah. That kind of thing.
Is so you want to keep going back to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so, yeah.
There we go. That was worth listening to.
Yeah. Did you enjoy Ben going, but that's everything I played this week.
Cool. I've only played two things this week, same as last week, God of War and Pokemon. I've played a bit more of Pokemon. I've finished one of the sort of story threads that you go off on. That's been done now, all the gigantic Pokemon. I am nearly done with the gyms and I'm nearly done with the Team Star bases. So I think I'm making some progress. Most of my team is like level 60 now as well. Got my team sorted, so that's good. Although I'm going to need someone who actually knows how Pokemon games work to tell me why Pikachu is so rubbish. Because Pikachu's rubbish. Pikachu's like every game that I've thought, I'm going to have a Pikachu because I want a Pikachu. They've just been underpowered and they just get knocked out by literally anything. And it's just a complete waste of a party space, in my opinion. I'd like to be corrected or told what I'm doing wrong. Maybe my Pikachu hates me.
It's rubbish because it's a mouse.
Because it is a mouse, yeah. But you just, you know, it's got no fight in it at all. It always just, it's maybe always just made of paper.
It's thing. Like, I don't need to fight. I'm famous.
Could be that.
Like, why do I have to put any effort in? Because I'm literally famous.
Yeah.
You're going to carry me around because I'm Pikachu. Not because I'm good. Yeah.
Do you really
Ryan Reynolds.
Or do you only have me because I'm a Pikachu off the comics and the
If you can't handle me at my Pikachu, you don't deserve me at whatever at Pikachu's evolution is.
Raichu. At my good at battle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my Pikachu's kind of rubbish, but everyone else in my party is really putting their weight and I'm having a great time. Still runs like crap, though. But I haven't had any more crazy glitches or I haven't had any crashes or anything. Seems like most of the glitches and bugs that people are having are in multiplayer, like online stuff. I don't have Switch Online or Nintendo Online, so I haven't played any of that. So I've not experienced any of that. God of War, I've only really been able to dabble with a little bit. I'm 25 hours in now, I think. So I don't think I'm too far from the end, but who knows? I'm hoping this weekend I'll have some time to actually play it because I had a busy weekend last weekend. So we will see, but that is what I've been playing.
Should I do question two?
Yes, please.
This comes from Bartek. Hello, B and A and Mr. P. This will be stupid, fun, maybe even weird question. But imagine that you can perform boring chores, however, like a particular genre of video game. For example, dishes, but it's a fighting game or QTE slash rhythm during phone calls. What would you choose? I've woken up from carbohydrate/sugar coma after Tatterpeel, and I wish you great plopless days. High five, Bartek. Thanks, Bartek.
Thanks, Bartek. I have decided that I would... I don't like ironing.
No.
Okay.
Partly because I'm really bad at it, and I feel like I'm standing there doing a chore, which no one likes to do by definition. It's a chore. But not only am I standing there doing a chore, feeling like, and like... I could be doing something else right now, but then I've got nothing to show for it because when I'm done, I'm like, that's rubbish. I've like ironed, I've ironed out all the little creases and then I've accidentally pressed one little fold directly into the shirt and now I have to do that whole area again. And then you flip it over and do that side. And then in doing that, you're creasing the bottom of it because you've not perfectly flattened it out onto the... I just can't do it. I'm rubbish. But what I would like to do is combine it somehow with something like Fruit Ninja.
Okay.
Where I just lay the item out in front of me and there's all these like targets that just fly in and out. They're like overlaid on it. And if like four of them line up in one go and I get the iron and I go swoosh like that and I hit them all.
Still done.
Then it does the shirt instantly. And then I hang that one up and then watch some more targets. Try and get like, and you know, maybe for like a shirt, you have to hit like five, but for just like a t-shirt or something or some jeans, you only have to hit three. So there's like a different level of challenge.
Do you iron jeans?
No, but okay, you know, I'm just saying something like
that's insane behavior.
Chinos or something.
Chinos.
So that is what I would like. I used to really enjoy Fruit Ninja back in the day. Now it's like heavily monetized, I think. You can still play it for free, but they try and make you watch ads at any given opportunity.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, that's what I'd do. Nice.
I would like that thing that happens in games where you're like, press X to sort, you know, get dressed, and then it just fades to black and then you're dressed. Yeah, I would like it to be like, press X to clean bathroom, and then I just open the door, and then when I come, like when it cuts back in, everything's clean.
Briefly start animating, yeah, and then it fades.
I like wipe one swipe across the mirror and everything sparkles and it's clean.
Yeah, that's good.
Or alternatively, I would like a like button mashing game to just do, to just stack the dishwasher. Like, as if I just had to like slam the X button and everything went
you're
in the dishwasher.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. I've committed murder that way. I'm pretty sure I could do the dishwasher really quickly.
Sure. I mean, those are transferable skills.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
These two things are very much the
they're
same.
The same thing.
War crimes,
yeah,
dishwasher.
The same thing. Yeah, I would really like to be in a video game where I can just press one button and it just does it for me. Like, clean room, picks up one T-shirt, done. Everything's away where it should be. That would be ideal.
That would be good.
Yeah, I don't want to have to really do any gameplay mechanic at all. I'd like it to be the quickest and most convenient thing ever of simply fading to black. And I just pass out and when I wake up, everything's fine. Mm. That would be good. That's how it's your situation.
That would be a good one. I like that one. My walk home from work is really boring. I can't be bothered with it most days.
Yeah.
So if I could just have a transition screen where it shows me just from like a side on view walking for a few seconds, and then maybe I have to press R1 and L1 or LB and RB like you do in Heavy Rain where you're scampering down a muddy bank. You just go, oh, you didn't slip, but I just have to do that and then I'm home. That'd be so
or
good.
Maybe it could fade to a loading screen and just give you a hint.
Yeah.
It's like a rotating model of you or like something in your life. And then it says,
make sure you blow that candle
home.
Out.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Did you know that you're having curry for tea?
Yeah. Oh, you could do it like what they do in sitcoms where it just like cuts to like aerial shots of Newcastle and then you just walk in your door.
Establishing shot of my flat would be great.
Yeah.
Whenever I want to go home, it would cut half an hour out of my day.
Strum.
Every day.
Yeah.
Then,
just do what they do in The Quarry where it's just like a really long panning shot for ages and then you're like, I'm home now.
Hey everyone, I'm home.
Yeah.
Boo.
Bazinga. Yeah, I'd love that. I would love that. That would I often fantasize about being able to teleport.
Yeah.
You get that? Where you can see like a location ahead of you with like that's where I'm walking, but I can see it and it's really far. And you just think if I could just go boop,
just fast travel.
Just get right to that point, it will cut so much of this out.
I just open Google Maps and just tap somewhere and you just fast travel to it.
Well, you nailed the answer to the question. If you could have a very low powered superpower, like just a sort of really basic, boring
commute skip.
It would be, you can just set up 2 points, basically just a portal gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just 2 points. You can maybe use it twice a day. Mm-hmm. That's all you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go zipping off to New York to save the world or whatever. It's just because obviously all apocalypses happen in New York.
They do.
It's just to get home. That's all you do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or just teleport to places that you know already. You've had to discover them on the map.
Yeah, on your map.
Yeah, like McDonald's.
Yeah.
Or Greg's.
Yeah. Like I can fast travel home so I haven't got to go on a train.
Oh,
but not when enemies are nearby.
Can
you imagine?
Or if I'm doing a mission.
Yeah.
Being faced with a 4.5 hour drive and then just being able to go, nope.
Nope.
Whoop.
Yeah.
I'll be over at about 7. What do you mean be over? Don't you mean
I'll be
you
over
need to
in
set off at
5 seconds.
2 p.m.? Yeah, yeah, I've got my cupboard portal, baby. Yeah. I'll be right there. That'd be so good.
Mm.
Not a QTE, but still, that'd be really nice.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. It's time to move on to something a little bit strange.
A little bit peculiar, perhaps.
A little bit
weird.
News.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird news time, time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can submit weird video game news to us on social media platforms. And we might get it read out here and you get a little shout out as well. If you want to ensure that you get a shout out, though, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and become a podcast producer at a certain tier.
Just like Nathan.
GY Goliath.
Nexus Polaris.
Walco.
Nicole Hansen.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonet.
Katie Garrett.
And Gabrielle Philipping.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Peter, have you got some weird news there?
I've got some weird news that was submitted on Facebook via from Paul Ansell and also on Twitter by RB at R_B84.
You had a bit of fluff
stuck in my nail. That's just come out of my jumper, I think. So this is according to IGN. Why is there not a link? What?
You right?
That's weird.
What's going on? You okay?
That's not even
What about on the Facebook post?
Hello?
Yeah, I didn't even realise this whole time. Okay, well, you do the Eurogamer one.
What?
Apparently it was just a tweet that IGN had put out with the story, but they'd not put a link to an article.
Oh, brilliant.
Good.
And that had been quote tweeted and put in our Twitter thread, which I didn't realise until I tried to open it. And I was
tricked.
Like, oh. So we'll go with the Eurogamer one, which was sent by Facebook. But thank you both. So this is written by Liv Nagan, who says, yeah, for Eurogamer, I should say, who says, Microsoft is selling mini hoodies for Xbox controllers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish it was for cats or dogs.
Well, it could be. If you have a really small cat or dog.
That's true.
And the subheading is D-padded jacket. It's not that good, is it?
It's all right.
Yeah. It's the time of year where you may want to cozy up with a nice hoodie. Yup, here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're officially entering the wintry season. This winter, don't let your controllers feel left out with a mini controller hoodie. That's a quote, it says.
I was going to say, that sounds like an advert.
Yeah, no, that's just a quote that's been... put, but then they've not yet said where that's from. That's end quote, and then it just says, eh? And then, although this next bit sounds like an ad, this is also not a quote. Okay. This is still the article. Feeling the freeze? Well, Microsoft wants you to think about how your hardware is doing, because it is selling mini hoodies for your Xbox controllers. Yes, I don't know why either. You can buy them in black or white, and they come in one size. That is Xbox Series X/S controller size. Its features include 100% polyester composition and, most importantly of all, a zipper and tiny armholes for your controller. On the back of them is the Xbox logo.
So I have a question about these controllers. Are they just for like when you're not using the controller, or like are they big enough that you can put your hands in the thing?
That's what they look
so
like.
So they're literally just for when you're not using your controller.
The sort of handly bits of the controllers come through the arms.
Hey, guys, that's stupid.
That's really, that's so daft. It's like the fridge again. It's sort of memery. It's marketing. It's going viral. It's that sort of stuff. Yeah. It has no practical application at all.
And so if you imagine, viewer, if you're watching at home as opposed to listening, a hoodie, so the sides of the controller go up your arms, the main body of the controller goes across here, and then there's just a hood up that's just got there's nothing in
it. Because it doesn't have a head.
Because the controller doesn't have a head.
They're going to sell a head soon.
Yeah, well, so the article continues.
That's a funny image.
And says, I find
Fills.
I find the head space of the hoodie quite haunting. Like, I would need to stick a bobblehead on top of my controller so it peeks out. It shouldn't be empty up there. I guess the armholes for the grips are a cute touch. All in all,
I guess.
All in all, it makes the controller look extremely impractical to use. Well, I don't think you're supposed to use it. And I'm not sure.
I'm sick of this story.
Yeah. And I'm not sure at what other times you'd be wanting to keep a controller warm other than when you're playing. Mm. For whatever reason, people are buying them, though, because the first batch of hoodies sold out.
Oh, my God.
Pre-orders are still open until the 15th of December, and the batch will ship mid-February. What, when winter's nearly over? What? If you also want to kit out your Xbox controller, you can put in a pre-order on the Xbox Gear Shop. It'll set you back £21.95 or $24.99, which is probably equivalent to a couple of hours of central heating.
I was going
to
say, yeah, just heat my house.
Oh, the biting satire there towards the end.
I'm trying to find a controller hoodie on Etsy, but it's just hoodies with pictures
for
of
gamers.
Controls. Gaming mode. I paused my game to be here.
Is that the t-shirt we got you?
Yeah, yeah. I do wear that.
Just get
not outside, but I do wear it.
You could probably reverse what Ashton said and look for a pet hoodie for a puppy or a kitten. Yeah,
you if you were really thing. Concerned that your Xbox controller is cold, you could definitely, knit it a jumper, maybe. Mm.
Let's stop anthropomorphizing our devices, okay? They're not going to get cold. They don't have bills to pay. Excuse me.
It's all right. Don't get so
I'm getting really cross about it. They don't have bills to pay.
You don't have nerve endings to be cold. You say that. I kept thinking that my phone was like sweating the other day because obviously it was so cold that it was like getting condensation on it. And I was like, my phone's sweating.
Oh no, what's wrong, phone?
Why is my phone so wet?
What's wrong,
it's
phone?
Sweating. It must be really warm for some reason.
I'd better take my phone hoodie off my phone. It's sweating.
Foodie. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Ashton, have you got a story there?
I do.
Yeah?
This comes from Matthew Wazalowski on Facebook and at JohnnyMac13 on Twitter. You submitted different stories, but I had to go with Nintendo Life because... Random! Players are finding ways to hug and kiss their Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet.
Oh.
The most wholesome glitch. I guess it depends who you're asking.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. These Pokemon Scarlet and Violet glitches have been really something, right? At their best, hilarious. At their worst, game-breaking. But the one reaction that these bugs haven't tapped into is making us go, aww. That is, until now. Mm. Indeed, it seems that some players have discovered a way to share the love with their Pokemon, with the Pokemon in their team. We are always quick to congratulate our Mon after a battle with a berry, a stroke, a picnic. But what about when the trainer needs some comfort in return? Fortunately, it looks like you can get a hug from some of the wild creatures out there. As shared by Out of Context Pokemon on Twitter, the game's complete inability to tell where any of their characters are at any given time has some perks, such as Cerulege?
I'm not sure what that Pokemon is.
Sometimes entering an idle animation when you're near that looks suspicious, like you're receiving a well-intentioned, if not most certainly lethal hug. So the Pokemon comes up, gives him.
Oh
God!
Wow, it's quite.
It's aggressive.
Yeah, it's more like giving you a noogie.
Yes.
McNuggies. A McNuggie. This continues the glitch spotted by some players where it appears that you can share a kiss with Meowscarada.
What?
Meowscarada. Scarada?
That seems right. What are these Pokemon?
I don't know.
What's going on?
In a trend that has made its way around the internet at an alarmingly quick rate, when taking a picnic with your team, Meowscarada will sometimes appear to lean in for a kiss when you get too close. Oh, the tweet below gives a pretty good example. And then the cat thing gives a kiss.
Oh, no, that's weird, though, because they're all anthropomorphized animals. Like, they've got legs and stuff.
Of course.
Legs.
Yeah. This animation is completely unintentional. A product of the Pokemon leaning in for a chat with you and the subsequent hearts showing its enjoyment. Well, guess it was a really good chat. But it is true that you can stand, if you stand a little bit closer, the moment looks at all the more intimate.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. This is not wholesome at all.
No.
This is creepy.
Aww.
It's weird. It's weird.
People
man.
Are kissing and poke the animals.
Stop sexualizing the animals.
Yeah. Neither of these animations can be considered purposeful by any means, but intentional or not, it's always nice to know that your team appreciates you back, even if the signs of affection can be a little too far.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
That's weird. That's
that very
news.
Weird.
Random.
Random. Thank you, Ashton.
Kiss the Pokemons?
My weird... No, I don't want to do that. I would just want to get a better Pikachu, mainly.
You got maybe you got kiss him.
Kiss the Mons.
I don't want to.
Them,
we all give berries
mons.
To our Mons. Cameron Keywood at Cameron _ Keywood on Twitter sent this one in, and maybe on Facebook as well. I'm sorry, I didn't have enough time to check it this morning. This is a Push Square article.
Random.
Spanish theme park announces new ride based on the Uncharted movie.
Such a good movie.
Such a good ride, I would hope, yeah. Right? Uncharted, as in the movie adaptation starring Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg, is getting its very own ride. Yes, the somewhat divisive film, that slander.
Yeah, how dare you? It's best film ever made.
Will soon be converted to a theme park attraction in which you'll be able to feel the same thrills as Nathan Drake himself. Well, we assume. Mm-hmm. Spanish entertainment resort Port Aventura World... God, that was split over two lines and it really threw me. Made the announcement today on social media. In 2023, we welcome a new ride with the arrival of Uncharted at Port Aventura World. Are you ready for an unexpected adventure? Sounds a bit threatening, doesn't it? Mm. There are no details on the ride itself, only that it's set to open in 2023. It makes sense in some ways to have an Uncharted ride at this particular destination, as much of the movie is set and was shot in Spain. It also speaks to the success of the movie that's going ahead, blah, blah, blah. Didn't land critically, but everyone and their dogs went to go and see it.
We were talking yesterday about what the ride might be.
Yes.
And we were thinking there's a bit where the boats, like, jump over each other.
Yes, there's the Fast and Furious sky chase.
Yeah.
Where there's two ancient galleons
being
suspended
towed
by
helicopters
chasing each other and bouncing off mountains.
Yeah.
And then, Peter, you suggested one that it could well be.
It could just be a Papa John's.
It could just be a Papa John's.
It could just be... you're literally...
I am literally in a Papa John's right now. That could be it. The Mark Wahlberg experience. I doubt they would do anything as elaborate as some sort of, like, jungle run kind of. You have to escape into... Because the setup time on that and the speed at which they'd be able to get people through would be really slow. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be bad, isn't it?
I'd like it to be like an It's a Small World situation where there's just like animatronics of Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg.
Just a million of them.
Yeah, and then at one point you go through Papa John's and you see animatronic Mark Wahlberg go, I'm literally in Papa John's right now.
And the whole bus
and
goes.
Everyone, yeah!
You tell him, Mark.
Papa John's
right now. In a Papa John's right now.
If Sony Pictures... slash Port Aventura World are watching, we would love to come and review it when it's ready.
Oh God, we would love to.
Fly us out to Spain.
Please bring us out. We'll come and try it. And
we'll be so excited. Everyone else will be there as a joke, but we'll be there for real.
We will be there unironically over the moon. We'll have a fantastic time. Mm-hmm. That's my weird news. It's time for question three.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Ben.
Question You're three welcome. Is from Rock Reese, who says, hey, Bap, I played the latest Pokemon when it came out and I was shocked at its performance like everyone else. Having recently bought a TV that supports 120 frames per second for the current gen consoles I have, I've been noticing frames more than I ever have previously, especially since I was also playing Zeus of Child in 80 FPS on PS5. For context, that is God of War.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that the amount of frames or stability of frames wouldn't...
Yes.
Prevent something from being my favorite game. So my question to you all, how much stock do you put in frames and or do you even notice it that much? Thank you very much, Rock Reese.
Thank you, Rock Reese.
Thank you, Rock Reese.
I recently bought a new TV during Black Friday.
Wow.
Wow.
Get you.
What is it? Is it a Toshiba?
No.
Is it a big one?
It's 45
Is it an Electronica?
No.
Is it a Luger?
I think it was LG, yeah. I think it was.
Okay.
So
that's pretty smart.
I guessed it.
That's pretty smart.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean the point I was gonna make actually is that I don't care a great deal about what kind of TV I, like what brand I get, as long as it's not gonna just
as long
break.
As it plays PS2 games.
Mm. Well, yeah. I don't particularly care about it being 4K or 60 FPS, or certainly not 120 FPS.
Because you've been playing in just 1080p, presumably, for this whole time, right? So the whole
I have.
PS5's time.
It's my first 4K TV, first 60 FPS TV as well, I think. And that's partly... So it's not that, like... Because you could say, oh, well, Peter, if you've not been playing with that kind of TV, then you don't know what you're missing. And now that you've got this one, you'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, like I should have done this ages ago. But it's not like I don't regularly encounter frame rates like that, you know, when I'm at work or at friends' houses or at home. Like mine and Amy's families both have TVs like that. So it's not that I don't understand the difference. But to me, I've never been that bothered. I think there's still probably an element of not knowing what I'm missing, but just not being content with what I've got. So
yeah.
Yes, I understand the difference, but just not having owned one myself, I'm like, fine, I'm fine with it. So perhaps now that I've got this one, I'll feel like I don't want to go back. It's not actually, we've not even set it up yet because we want to mount it on the wall. So we're not going to even bother getting it out of the box until we're ready to stick it on the wall. But I mean, it probably is also a contributing thing that I do still play a lot of old consoles. I watch shows I watch a lot of old shows on BritBox at the moment, which were obviously filmed at like 30 or at least put out at 30. I think perhaps I'll have a completely different opinion of it in a few months' time. But having been to friends' houses and seen their fancy TVs, I've never thought, oh man, yeah, I wish I had one of these. It doesn't really affect my enjoyment of a game whatsoever, which is good in a way because it means I don't have to worry about putting it in a mode that is going to be pro frame rate. I can always just set games to high graphical fidelity and be fine with the fact that it's at 30 FPS. So, I'm all right with it. Ashton.
Now, my boyfriend is incredibly anal about frame rates. Right. He can really tell the difference between 30 and 60, and he gets incredibly frustrated that I can't tell the difference.
Oh, can you not?
No.
See, I can tell the difference. I just don't
notice it really at all. Like, right. I can tell when a game looks better because it's being able to load up 60 FPS, but I couldn't be like, the reason this looks better is because it's loading at 60 FPS. So sometimes I'll be playing a game and I'll be playing it on like the graphical setting, which is like 30 FPS. And he's like, how can you play like that? I don't understand. It looks awful. It's only running at 30. And I'm like, how do you know this? Like, what is it about this that you know? And then last year or the year before, we got a new TV in Black Friday that was like a 4K TV. And when I was moving to Newcastle, I was taking one of the TVs with me, and I was like, I'm going to take the older one because I know that if I leave you with the older one, you might have an aneurysm because it can't run things at 60 FPS. So I have been playing mine with like a TV that's not as good. But like you say, I don't really mind it all that much. If the frame rate is objectively bad, like if it's not,
yeah, if it's not
the game's, like, you know, it's not the, yeah, if graphically it's the game's fault that the game looks bad, I do obviously have an issue with that. And if a game runs like trash because of the frame rate, it does make it harder for me to play it, and I probably won't bother playing it until it's fixed. But
it's not you.
But if it's just the fact that the graphics on my TV are not as good, I really don't mind that much. I'm not that bothered. Ask my boyfriend and he'd have an aneurysm. But me, I'm not bothered. I'm easy breezy.
Forget about it.
It's okay.
30 FPS, forget about it.
Where's my Horizon PowerPoint?
Hey.
Sorry, Ashton. I didn't mean to yawn.
No, it's okay.
I was stifling yawns a lot.
I thought you were going to sneeze and I was like going to say bless you.
Oh, no.
And then
no,
I realised
no.
It was a yawn.
Can you imagine if I just sneezed directly?
I've stifled a couple of yawns in this podcast. I've done that sort of thing where you just sort of go.
Yeah. You just keep it in the cheek.
You straight. Yeah. 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 I hate the fact that I've really started to notice it now. Like, I can see it. And I talked on the podcast when I was playing through Horizon and the first bit of God of War, and I had it on the wrong setting.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this doesn't look like it runs very well. And then it just went click. It was like, oh my God, it's night and day. The difference here is unbelievable. I definitely think there's a case to be made for getting used to frame rates. Like, I could go back and play. I've played plenty of PS4 games on my PS5 and, you know, some PS3 games as well on the PS3 in the past couple of years that are not running at 60 frames per second. And while you can tell they're not running at 60 frames per second, it doesn't take long before you just acclimatize and you get used to that. However, jumping between, as cited by Rock Reese and myself recently, jumping between God of War at 60 FPS and Pokemon is incredibly jarring.
Yeah.
There's a real difference there. I don't think it would ever necessarily put me off getting a game I was really interested in. But, for example, I do intend to play Gotham Knights at some point, and I know that that had some real frame rate problems going on with it at times. And I'm hopeful that by the time I get round to playing it, that will have been fixed or mitigated to some extent. And even if it hasn't, I'll notice them, but I'll probably be all right.
Yeah.
My main frustration, though, as I said it now, is that the fact that I can identify these issues, and I wish I couldn't. I wish it was just sort of like, hey, it's a game, and that's cool, but we've been spoiled. We've been spoiled by this new consoles and shinier TVs, and now, while it won't put me off playing a game per se, it is very noticeable to me, and that's kind of annoying.
I remember there being a period of time in the sort of, it was either kind of late PS2, Xbox, or early 360, PS3 eras, where I would have issues reading text sometimes on screens because I didn't have an HD TV at the time. And I don't know if maybe games were starting to be developed with a kind of a bit of an HD thing in mind. Mm. And sometimes fonts would be really small, like subtitles or like level descriptions on loading screens or whatever. And sometimes you'd be like, what is that? And it's not that, like, it wasn't a short-sighted thing. You can be right up close to the TV and it's purely a pixel thing, you know, a resolution thing. Yeah, definitely. I noticed the difference when HD came in, and I think that was a huge thing. But like now, it's not a sort of a practical problem anymore. It's just a visual splendor kind of thing. Mm. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to move on to something rather large. Mm. Can you guess what it's called? You should. We've done it before. It's called the Big Discussion. It's Big Discussion time. Time to talk about this week's big video game discussion that comes courtesy of Janet
Wicks.
If you could time travel and relive a particular era of gaming, i.e. Arcade Craze, Rise of Nintendo, or whenever Sega was good, etc., which would you choose?
Mm.
Thank you, Wicks.
Thank you, Janet. That's a good question.
Thank you, Janet.
Peter, a lot of nostalgia love here.
Well,
generally.
Yes.
When would you go?
But this is
and
the
why?
Thing. Well, I don't need to go back and relive, you know, either the sort of PS1 era or even stuff a little bit before then, because it's actually relatively easy to emulate that stuff.
Mm.
And I don't think you lose a great deal by sitting at home and playing it. You can still, at this point, you can play it on a sofa with a controller in your hand and you can still be emulating it if you just hook up a PC to a TV or something like that. So you've almost got the exact experience. Yes, you sometimes have to faff around with emulation settings, but it's all right. So I don't think I would waste this opportunity on that. Either go back further to the arcades and actually try and get involved in that whole culture of, like, you know, a group of friends all going down to the arcade and hanging out. It's not just that I want to play those games. In fact, the games themselves aren't as appealing as sort of the whole experience of everyone going and, you know, maybe there's that one kid who's really good at that one game and everyone's like, he's doing it, he's going to win the high score, and everyone runs over. I mean, it's all a bit like sort of American movie Hollywood thing, and maybe it didn't
watch
quite
this kid
happen like that. But, you know, if I could go to a slightly fantastical version of the arcade era, you know, the sort of the 80s or whatever, then that sounds quite appealing. And then I thought a slightly curveball answer. I would quite like to go back and just relive playing the Xbox 360, which is emulatable, or, you know, the games are on Game Pass and stuff. But I mean, like, go and again, like, it's part of the, it's the experience as much as it is about the games. And that was a period in my gaming life where I played the most multiplayer I've ever played. I've never played more before or since. Or before, I did a lot of like couch co-op, but never online.
Oblivion.
That's what I was going to say.
That was the one for me.
Yeah.
So, what a game changer.
So playing Halo online, playing Halo solo as well, which I just enjoyed, and then Oblivion. Those are the three like big things that I think of from the 360 era. And a few like really good one-off titles as well, like Condemned, I enjoyed at the time. Don't think it's aged as well. I streamed the whole game like last year, was it maybe, at Halloween, and it wasn't that good. Maybe it was this year. But anyway, going back and playing it and maybe trying to... The issue with these time travel questions as well is, do you go back with the knowledge you've got now and try and like recapture the magic, because you probably wouldn't do? Or do you just go back and kind of naively live it all again? And that's what I'd like to do with the Xbox 360, just go and do that all over again, because I had a great time. But yeah, probably the arcade is the real time travel one.
I also thought the arcade, just because I think I would have a lot of fun with the social element of going and all hanging out together and playing games together. Like you say, I don't know if that many arcade games really interest me. I think that like we're in a kind of time at the moment where arcades are few and far between, and a lot of them have kind of the same few games. And even then, you can't really class all of them as an arcade, because they have maybe like four games, and then they have like loads of claw machines.
Yeah, like, and physical, like, yeah, ball throwing games and stuff.
But when we went to NQ64, check the video, it's coming out tomorrow, where there was lots of games there that I found really interesting and I wanted to play. But I think I would love just going... I think I don't love the corporatization of an arcade in this era. I would like to just go with like a bunch of kids as a child and go and like hang out at the arcade with my friends, take my pocket money so I can play some games. Whereas now a lot of them are like, arcades are for adults, and then if you want to come in here, you also have to pay money. A lot of money to have a good time.
Remember arcades? They're expensive now.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't have the same kind of atmosphere anymore.
No,
they're not
full of
kids. They're never full of kids.
No.
I don't find
them. Unless you go to the seaside.
Yeah, that's true. They tend to be busy. But like, for example, the one in the gate is always very empty.
Yeah.
You-Me World, I think is what that's called. Yeah.
I would like the version of arcades that was popular way back in the 80s, where it was for kids and teens to hang out. One of those, like, what was they called? Second places. Is that what they're called? Or like third? There's like a kind of thing that was like a mentality. I don't know if it was called like second or third places, where it wasn't your house, it wasn't work, but it was a place you'd all go and hang out together.
Right.
And it was like a communal space that was like, it was like cafes or halls or arcades that was like a place that everyone would go hang out. But nowadays it's not really the same. Nowadays it's a lot more like individuals go, and they don't make friends with strangers in cafes, for example. You keep to yourself.
Well, I would go to the mid to late 90s, as I am now as an adult, because I have a lot of nostalgia for that time. Excuse me. And I think I just buy loads of stuff. Really, I just buy all the things that I wanted as a kid. And you know, it's now not just that it's now worth a lot of money, but a lot of people are very nostalgic for that time.
Yeah.
And you know, you see these things fetch a very high price. I want the CRTs, I want the big blockbuster releases that were coming out, your Metal Gear Solids, your Final Fantasy Sevens, you know, games that hadn't been seen like that before, all coming out around that kind of time. The fact that the games industry wasn't mostly digital at that point.
Yeah.
So there were just boxes everywhere for everything, and the big chunky signage and different corporations and companies just literally at each other's throats with their advertising.
Magazines and posters. And
there was like a real fact. Obviously, there was a lot wrong with the industry then, as there is still now in many ways. But if I could just go to a video game store in the mid to late 90s, or even just somewhere like Toys R Us and things, that would be amazing. You see these archived photos and sort of newsletters and bits of literature that people have held on to or that are inserted into game sleeves and game boxes and stuff, and it shows all of the product range for that season. And you just think, oh man, that's so cool.
Yeah.
If only I could walk in there right now and buy a brand new sealed such and such, you know, and that would be incredible.
I used to love going to Toys R Us and then like going down the video game aisle, and they had all of like the controllers on the sticks so you could like play the demos.
Yeah, the booths.
They were so fun.
They were excellent.
Yeah.
But that's where I would go, mainly on a shopping spree.
Yeah, fair enough. The stuff that I would buy, that like say, it's not that I then want to just bring it back to 2022 and flip it. Like I would really like a copy of Tomba 1. And that is purely because I like it. I own the second one, and it would just be nice to have one. It's not because it's worth a load of money and it'd be cool to have. It's like, no, I just want that game to play it. But they're just so expensive now. So I don't think I'm ever going to justify spending that much money. So it'd be nice to go back and just spend 20 quid on it instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There are so many things like that, even in the past 10, 15 years, where you go to CEX and there's like a PS4 game or a 3DS game in the little glass case that's £70.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And it's because they printed so few of them or something like that. And you just think, if only you knew.
Yeah.
If only you had the foresight to buy that at the launch price when you had the chance. But there we are. We live and we learn. Let us know in the comments below where you would like to time travel to, if you could, anywhere in gaming history. We'd love to know. Peter.
Yes.
I believe you're going to tell people where on the internet the listeners can find us.
I am. You can go to youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump for all of our content. We put we do videos on YouTube and we do live streams on both. And when we're streaming on both, we're modded by Lob Rotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
guys. If you've got Amazon Prime, one of the benefits of that, it's just bundled in, no extra cost, is a free Twitch sub. And you can spend that on us and get all the usual perks of being a sub. And everyone's a winner.
I did that the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
I used to do that when we had Prime. I just had it spent on Triple Jump, which is good. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump to get to our Twitter and Facebook. There's loads of stuff on there. Video and live stream announcements. Little bits of questions and bits of news and all kinds of things posted there by mostly Fraser. Thank you, Fraser, for looking after that. Also, TikTok.com/@TeamTripleJump. Ashton is actually going to be like making a load of stuff for that now.
I put TikTok out yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Talk ticks.
Yesterday at time of recording or time of publishing.
Time of recording.
Okay. What was it about?
It was about my video game opinions. It was to a sound. It was very hard to explain to you. I'll just show you it.
Okay, that's fine.
Thanks. But we've been saying for ages, oh, we'll start doing more TikToks.
We're doing them. TikToks. Well, Ashton's doing them.
Yeah. And patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. There's loads of tiers there with loads of different rewards for a whole big price range. Loads of different options for you if you only want to spend $1 or $250 or anything. So have a look at that.
We have a website. It's triplej.mup, JJU.mp. It spells jump. It's very clever. If you want to join our Discord, you can go to triplej.mup/Discord and chat with our wonderful community. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to do something, bloody well, do it. All right?
What?
If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio forms, why not go to triplej.mup/podcast. To catch up on all of our live streams, you can go to triplej.mup/VODs. If you want to book a cameo from any of us or James Jenkins, maybe, you know, Christmas is coming up. We'll do a little Christmas message for you if you want.
Happy Christmas.
You can go to triplej.mup/cameo. And if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, none of us are sporting that today, I don't think.
I've got a shirt on.
Yeah. Is that still available? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not. Peter just wanted to get it out.
Yeah. Get your tiny Peter out.
Get your tiny Peter out. You can go to triplejumpshop.com and make sure you're following @triplejumpshop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements.
New merch drop coming next week.
Yes.
It's happening. Brand new merch drop, and hopefully if you get your order in time, there is a festive item. It should be there with more than enough time to spare for Christmas. So keep your eyes peeled. And if you want that festive item, it will be very limited and will not be available for long. So go grab it. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter and Hive?
Yeah.
At that Peter Austin and at Scrambled Ashton and myself on Twitter and, well, on Twitter at confused underscore dude and on Hive confused dude with no underscore. That's not,
it's not allowed
not
to
as
hand,
easy to
it's
say.
Not allowed an underscore.
Lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday being solo streams on Twitch. Just as a slight announcement following on from Peter's very exciting big boy stream coming next
Friday.
Is it next Friday? Yeah.
Yeah, it's next Friday.
I don't know what day or date it is today or now, but yeah, next Friday.
Coming
this
next
week coming.
Friday, I will also be doing a big stream. That'll be during the festive break, though.
29th.
Thank you, Ashton. Yes, the 29th.
You know, I'm really good at dates. It's like the one thing I'm aware of.
She knows. So the 29th, I'm going to be doing a full New Game Plus run in Demon's Souls. I don't know how long it's going to take me, but I'm going to start late morning. So if you're off work and you're in that sort of no man's land over the festive period, come say hi. What else have we got? Worst games ever is fortnightly. Friday for patrons of a certain tier. Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday. We do shows all the bloody time. Speaking of which, we'll tell you about one in a second. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. We'd really, really appreciate it. And it's free. It doesn't take any time at all. Just 5 stars. Love this podcast. Wow, so cool. Thank you.
The hosts are so funny and handsome.
They're so funny and handsome, all of them. This week, very exciting. We've got a follow-up to the 101 games everyone must play. Is that what it was called, the first one?
Yeah, pretty much.
Something like that. And it's 101 worst games of all time, the worst reviewed games of all time, 101 of them.
Some real stinkers.
Yeah. It's a really big, long list. Kat's worked very, very hard on the script, and Kieran's done a great job with the edit as well. That'll be live right now, so you can go and watch that. It's an excellent video. And on Sunday, we've got a very special video coming out, haven't we?
Yeah. We do, yeah. Remember Privet from way back when we did the wet wrestling like 4 months ago? Well, guess what? We filmed another one. We went to NQ64 in Newcastle.
Which is an arcade bar.
And we had learned from the VR game Startenders, which thank you so much for giving us access to it. Yeah. And we learned how to be bartenders from that game. So we put it into practice in a real actual bar with real actual bartenders and real actual alcohol. And they turned out.
You'll have to watch.
Yes, they turned out.
They certainly turned out. We were allowed to actually, none of us have worked as bartenders before. I did a very tiny shift in a pub once, but I've certainly never made a cocktail before in a bar. So it was quite the experience. And thank you to NQ64 for having us. And it's a great video.
It is.
Go and watch us mess around.
It was a while ago.
It was a very long time ago. So yes, go and watch that. That'll be out on Sunday. Please. And next week, Peter, there's a big old stream happening, isn't there?
There is. It is the Game Awards,
Ooh.
TGA. So obviously, you might be there for the awards, but we're as much there for the trailers and things.
And Jeff.
And Jeff.
Of course,
yeah.
Jeff.
So very exciting. We'll be streaming that live. You'll be able to watch along with us. And we'll have a few little incentives as well to for donations, which will be nice.
Yeah. It starts at 12:30 a.m. GMT for us. I think it's like 7 p.m. if you're in America, and 1 a.m. if you're in Europe. Australia, hey, it's probably about 10 a.m. Probably got so the best 12, time.
12:30 a.m. on Friday morning. Very, very early.
Thursday night, Friday morning. So we'll be up late, and if you're feeling like sticking around till the early hours of the morning, we will be there to keep you company.
We will be there indeed.
Losing our minds. What's going to come out of this year? Last year it was Isis Legs. What could possibly top it?
I don't know.
Only 12 hours later, I'll be streaming all the way through Spyro 2.
Peter will be streaming.
Without gliding. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Yeah. And I'll show you how.
Come check it out. Thank you so much for listening / watching, everybody. And thank you again to everybody who sent in Tap. We can't wait to share the video with you. And we will catch you next week, I suppose.
Yep.
Have a lovely rest of your weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family.
From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.